We return to the Finsiders now.
Welcome back to the Finsiders. Greg Likens here alongside Troy Stratford, OJ McDuffie, Tristan Jones, the Metro PCS Comment Center. You can join the chat online with her at dolphins.com. Join us on the show by texting 347-347 or give us a call at 1-855-GO-FINS as we continue to recap practice number 4 of Dolphins Training Camp 2014. We're going to take a break from that for just a moment. Head out to the Metro PCS hotline to check in with Eric Friends, AFC East writer from Bleacher Report. Eric, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. How you all doing?
Doing great, and we're happy that football is back. And, Eric, I got to start with one of your most recent articles on Bleacher Report, as you described Charles Clay as the NFL's best secret weapon. He had a breakout 2013. How much better can he be a tight end for this Dolphins team?
Well, I think it's really interesting when you talk about Charles Clay, because Dolphins and the Dolphins fans all know what they have in Charles Clay. It seems like the rest of the nation is still kind of catching up, though, and to see him ranked at number 4 among all NFL tight ends on the NFL Top 100, I think was a sign that things are starting to turn around or starting to turn into that direction where we're starting to have Charles Clay as a household name. And I think with Bill Lazor's offense, obviously allowing guys to move around a bit and getting him in favorable matchups will be something that they'll probably look to do a lot of, and you've seen the chemistry that he's built with Ryan Tannehill, I think, is huge, and with so much changing in that offense this year with the offensive line pretty much entirely brand new, it's going to be important for Tannehill to have guys that he knows exactly where they're going to be. Charles Clay is turning into one of those guys. You top that off with a great skill set, good athleticism and sure hands, and he's pretty much the weapon that you need at tight end.
All right, so Eric, basically what you're saying is that after 2014, assuming he stays healthy, he won't be a secret weapon anymore, just be one of the better weapons in the AFC, and specifically the AFC East.
You nailed it, Greg, and I think with one more year of rapport with Ryan Tannehill, that's going to continue to grow. Obviously, last year was a huge breakout year for him. We hadn't seen anything like that from him in his first 2 years, but he showed flashes of it earlier in his career, and I think it really started to turn around for him against the Seattle Seahawks in 2012, where he had a 6-catch, I think 100-yard game, and he had a touchdown in that game. So it was a huge game for him against what was one of the NFL's best defenses that year and remains one of the best defenses in the league still. And I think it's really interesting that was his breakout game, and now we're starting to see him kind of build off of that.
Now, Eric, now if you look at Philadelphia last year with Chip Kelly, I know Bill Lazor was there, it seemed like the tight ends combined had like 50 or 60 receptions. Is that because they aren't a Charles Clay and we'll expect Charles Clay to have 50 or 60 by himself, 70 by himself? Or is that the way this Bill Lazor offense is kind of designed, or the way the Chip Kelly offense was designed?
Well, when you look at what Chip Kelly has in Philadelphia, I mean, they have Brent Celek and Zach Ertz, and that's two pretty good tight ends, in my opinion. And I think the reason maybe that they didn't have as much damage in the passing game, well, first of all, was they were going to the wide receivers a lot with DeSean Jackson, with Riley Cooper developing a lot of rapport with Nick Foles, and the tight ends having two of them, it was hard to get them heavily involved when the offense was so vertical. But obviously in Miami, Charles Clay, I think, is head and shoulders above every other tight end on the roster, and in my opinion, he should be the first guy they have on the field. I don't know if you'll see a lot of two tight end sets with the Dolphins, so I think you're looking at Charles Clay getting majority of those targets and receptions over the middle end. And again, I think another thing to take into consideration is that Bill Lazor, I mean, he's not Chip Kelly. I mean, they're going to do things a little bit differently. Chip Kelly probably has things that he likes that Bill Lazor doesn't, and vice versa. So you might see the tight end be even more of a factor in the Dolphins offense just because we've seen the rapport that Ryan Tannehill has developed with Charles Clay.
Eric, I want to switch to the defensive side of the ball for the Miami Dolphins. Some additions who I've had the opportunity to see on the field so far, and I like what I see out of Earl Mitchell, you know, on the defensive line. And then you have Courtland Finnegan at the cornerback position. I don't really see any problems with his movement on the field to this point. And then at safety, we have Lewis Delmas, who he's brought this much-needed change of attitude just to our defensive unit so far from what I see. If those three guys hit with the Miami Dolphins this year, you see this defense going from where it was to a different point, higher level. How do you see that?
Well, in my opinion, the defense for the Dolphins has been underrated for years, and I think, you know, they got off to a really hot start last season, took a little bit of a step back down the stretch, but the offense also wasn't holding up their end of the bargain either. So I think the Dolphins' defense has been its strong suit. It's been the offense that I think could pick it up a bit. But again, when you add those kind of players, and obviously the defensive tackle spot for the Dolphins is going under a pretty significant change, losing Paul Soliai and adding Earl Mitchell to that equation, I think is good for that group because they still have a piece they can rotate in. I still wonder, though, about the run defense. That was kind of an issue for them last year. Up the middle, losing a guy like Soliai, who was so good against the run, and adding Earl Mitchell, who is a good pass rusher, but not considered as great against the run, not as good of an anchor in the middle. I think that could come back to hurt them a little bit, but with an enforcer like Dalmas in the passing game, I think that really helps out. And the AFC East is sort of starting to trend towards more passing with young quarterbacks like Geno Smith and E.J. Manuel starting to come into their own as well.
Eric Frenz, AFC East writer from Bleacher Report, joining us here on the Finsiders on the Metro PCS Hotline. Speaking of the rest of the AFC East, I know you cover the Patriots very closely, and it seems to be a scary proposition in New England right now with both Rob Gronkowski and Gerard Mayo healthy. They still had a lot of success last year despite losing those guys for big chunks of the season. How do those two change that dynamic of that team offensively and defensively in New England?
Well, it's interesting. It's not just Gronkowski and Gerard Mayo. It's also Vince Wilfork, Sebastian Vollmer. They lost a lot of key guys last season that really came back to hurt them in that AFC Championship game, which, I mean, to even consider that they lost all those players, and they even also lost Aaron Dobson towards the end of the season. They lost Shane Vereen for a long stretch in the middle, but they were able to be so successful and still without having those guys and now getting those guys back. I think, like you said, it's a very scary proposition for the rest of the AFC East, but watching Vince Wilfork and Mayo kind of get integrated back into this defense, I mean, it's been a little bit of a process for both of them, but they've done nothing but improve since the offseason program began back in May, and I think it'll be interesting to see how Vince Wilfork at 33 years old holds up on a torn Achilles after having that surgery last season, and obviously the offensive line as well, with having lost Sebastian Vollmer. I mean, they didn't miss a beat much last year, but Brady was sacked last season more than he has been, I think, ever since his first season as a starter. I think he had like 48 sacks or so last season, which is a pretty high number for him. So it'll be interesting to see how that group kind of comes together as well, getting one of their anchors back.
Eric, you mentioned in the AFC East how it's become more of a passing league with the young quarterbacks, E.J. Manuel in Buffalo, and you said Geno Smith in New York. You think Geno Smith would definitely beat Michael Vick out? Michael Vick really destined to be a backup to Geno this year?
Well, they certainly are using that competition word quite frequently down in New York, but last season, if you'll recall, there were also reports that the competition that was going on between Geno Smith and Mark Sanchez was not really a competition. It was really only a competition in name, but the winner had really already been decided, and it was going to be Geno Smith one way or the other. I think we have a similar situation going on this year with Michael Vick. I think he's going to be a great backup for them, and I think he'll be valuable for Geno Smith to kind of lean on as a mentor, but definitely I still think it's Geno Smith's job to lose. He'd have to have a pretty awful preseason to lose that job right now.
Eric, always appreciate your insight on everything going around the AFC East, and good to catch up with you specifically about the Dolphins and Charles Clay. Look forward to catching up with you again.
Thanks a lot, guys. Good talking to you as always.
All right, there he is, Eric Frenz, AFC East writer from Bleacher Report, joining us on the Metro PCS Hotline.